Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Sunday Roast. It's Sunday the 19th of December, and not long to go now until Christmas. You all ready, Kev?
Not really.
No?
Christmas tree's up, but my wife's had COVID, so we've all been sheltering for the last period of time. So, yeah, and Christmas, though, it's not quite the same as Christmas in the UK, obviously. Though we have many Christmas trees and many different things in the shops, not quite the same.
No, indeed.
So, yeah.
There's a lot of it going around, a lot of the lurgy going around, and the UK seems to be moving ever towards or nearer towards some sort of lockdown, even though Boris has repeatedly said no lockdown. But there's more and more rules being introduced, and Scotland saying you can only have three households mixing at Christmas. It feels like we're edging towards that inevitable. But today we're joined by Adam Wilson, CEO of Ben's Creek. Welcome, Adam, and a Merry Christmas. How are you doing?
Well, thank you very much, Phil and Kevin. Welcome and Merry Christmas to you.
Excellent.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. And we need some coal for the fire, I think. But you don't have any of that. Thank goodness.
I do have a Father Christmas, supply list of coal for all the naughty boys, though.
You can send some to Egypt then.
So, Adam, we saw this week the news of the issue of convertible loan notes to raise $6 million. Do you want to give us a bit of background on that, the reasoning behind that?
Yeah, sure. And if I may do, I don't know if you saw that on Friday, we also put out an acquisition. So the two are sort of tied together. And really, if I can deal with both, it's very similar. I don't know if you guys have ever seen a film with Al Pacino called Any Given Sunday, when he talks about winning an American football game inch by inch, and the inches turn into yards. And that's really what we're trying to do here. We're trying to grow the company as well as get an asset like Ben's Creek into production and throw off cash flow. We want to utilize the infrastructure as much as we can. So inch by inch, we're adding different mines. Firstly, the mines that we added on Friday, they are contiguous. So they run onto our property, as you'll see from the announcements, about 1,200 acres. It is very high in reserve base. We're not allowed to give a reserve number, even though we've got reserve studies, but they're slightly out of date. So as soon as we get an up-to-date reserve study, we'll be able to tell you how many reserves. But it's very favorable in terms of millions of tons that we've acquired. So that adds to the size of the company's reserve, all of which linked into the commodity and the commodity price. The second set of acquisitions that we're hoping to do in the near term are acquisitions very similar to Ben's Creek, where they've got the infrastructure in place where it hasn't been utilized. So the capital's been expended. For example, there's a rail load out, there's a railway line, and there's a wash plant, very similar to Ben's Creek. And we can we can go in there, do those sites up, add to the economies of scale of our management team, and really grow this business quickly, which is something that we put in the prospectus, something that we were very open with from the start, that we're looking to not just be a single operator. We love the commodity space. We're looking to add numerous different mines in the area, ideally contiguous, so that we build up our blueprint and become a significant producer. I think I've used before on your show the example of Warrior Met Coal, which has a reserve of 300 million tons of met coal. We're only looking for met coal additions, and we've discussed in the past the reasons we like the infrastructure rebuild and the sort of greener economy, the carbon for decarbonization. So that financing that we did is a small, relatively small amount of money to acquire all these sites. So that was done at 28p. It's a convertible, so it converts into shares. It was from an existing shareholder. They were very supportive, top-tier institution very supportive at the IPO, and they gave us what we consider is enough money to buy these assets now. Now, as we can see, the price of met coal's been rising, so we're keen to secure these assets now before they run away from us and before other people try and do the same thing that we've done and, you know, acquire these assets independently. We can put them together very quickly. We think we can grow the company, as we laid out in the IPO, into one of the premium, you know, biggest reserves and biggest producers in all of North America.
Bravo. It sounds like you're on the right course. So basically, well,
I was very keen. Sorry, Kevin. I was very keen. Obviously, you have to put the funding in first, but this is not a war chest of funding. We're not sitting on the money. So that's why I was keen to show you, or keen to show the sort of family of shareholders that have been really kind and stuck with us, that we are adding reserve to the reserve base almost immediately. And we're in discussions. There's no guarantee that any of these deals come off until we announce. So I've got to sort of put that, you know, equity warning that comes with any investment. But we are at advanced stages. And so, you know, I hope very quickly to be able to add a second, a third. And then there are two types of reserve we're looking for. One that we can run that's contiguous, that runs into our property, that we can run through the excess capacity we've got at Ben's Creek. The second type of reserve will have its own infrastructure. And as I said, we're in conversations with numerous people on adding those. So it's all about, let's go back to Al Pacino and his speech that everybody can watch on any given Sunday. It's mine by mine, reserve by reserve, infrastructure by infrastructure. And hopefully at the end of the game, you know, we've got enough to come out as that sort of $1 billion winner that we aspire to be.
So just coming back quickly to the reserves of the new one that you've got. And as you said, you've had a report, but it's out of date, so we can't talk about actual numbers. But in terms of, I think the reserve that has been finalized at Ben's Creek is about 3 million tons. So is that going to have a material impact on that?
I've got to be very careful what I say, but we're very excited by the number that's in the old report. Now, it takes millions of years to put met coal in the ground. So it is extremely unlikely that that report, when brought up to date, will change. So it's, I believe shareholders will be very excited when we're able to publish the new number, which will be within 6 months of the dated report.
So we're looking at, I mean, the current existing Ben's Creek is over, what, 10,000 acres roughly?
Yes, this is over 1,400 acres, but it's a higher density of coal. It's the same coal seam that runs on Ben's Creek. It runs into this adjacent piece of land, and it has been drilled a lot. We've got three different reports. It's just those reports are not dated within 6 months, and we're very respectful of the rules. So we will then update those reports, put them out, and people will be able to see the size of the reserve that we have on this adjacent piece of property. We think this is an extremely attractive piece of land, which was effectively landlocked. It had no way to get to market. It had no wash plant and it had no railroad, which is why we've purchased it on a royalty basis. And those royalty rates are pretty much the same as Ben's Creek. So this should really extend the life of reserve and the value of the company. Because as the commodity price increases, if we were a gold mine and you have more gold, obviously the value of the gold company rises. The same with met coal. So we can increase the reserve base substantially and we have the infrastructure, you know, it's all good for the shareholders. And that's what we're really trying to do here. It's about marrying this infrastructure, which for years was forgotten. We went through this, you know, there are some media commentaries that say you've bought a bankrupt mine. We say, yes, that's exactly right. We bought $60 million worth of infrastructure investment in Ben's Creek, and now we're mining through that. But we never paid $60 million for it. We put a couple of million in it. So we've just raised $6 million. It would be nice to add three Ben's Creeks together, plus the extra reserves around all of those mines, and then have one of the bigger 300 million would be the target to get to something like Warrior Met Coal that has 300 million tons of reserves. And the market cap of that company today is about $1.3 billion.
If you put a high wall miner on this new project, you can mine in that way.
Yes, you can. It's just an extension. It actually is contiguous with our property. So we will obviously mine from the infrastructure out in concentric circles. So we're not going to mine the new property straight away. Our plan would be to put the second high wall miner near the infrastructure, that being the wash plant and the rail loadout. But obviously, as there is, you know, very strong reserves in the new area, over time, we will move into that area and mine those reserves. They're very valuable to us because of the margin that we're able to extract. The current price of met coal, high vol B met coal, is about $320 a ton. We've talked about our cost of mining. The margins are extremely favorable. So, you know, those reserves, which are landlocked to anyone else, are incredibly valuable to us as we're able to extract those large margins that we've talked about in the future. So it's a kind of unique purchase, makes huge amount of sense for us. Not a lot of other people can get the same value from it because they don't have the infrastructure that's near it. Now, obviously, I want to try and tie these reserves up quite quickly, because should met coal continue where it is or go higher, people may make the assumption, well, let's put the infrastructure there. They're making so much money. We'll put a wash plant or we'll put a rail link there. So I'm not in a hurry, but it makes sense for me to acquire these assets quickly, work with the owners of the reserves, because I'm not buying the reserves, I'm leasing the reserves. And as we mine it, we're paying the owner of the reserves a royalty. So it's a win-win situation.
I was just going to say that I was just looking through the RNS, and I think there are three royalty figures, one like 4, 1.7, and 1.4.5. Can you talk us through what the different percentages
are? Yeah, it's on how they're mined, Phil. So you can mine underground, you can do high wall mine, or you can surface mine. I'm a big high wall miner guy, as you've seen. I've sent you pictures of the stockpile. You saw the high wall miner going. But sometimes, as you get deeper and deeper, sometimes you get better quality coal underground. So, you know, I'm not saying we would never go underground. So I'm giving myself the option to go for the better high vol A in an underground mine, and somewhere it's very close to the surface, you could just do a little bit of stripping. Now, that's not my preferred way of mining. I was pains in the IPO to say that I prefer to do high wall mining. So really, investors should focus on the high wall mining. But these royalty agreements, you set them up to cover every eventuality, because, you know, we could be 20 years time and coal could be thousands of dollars a ton, and we might have to go underground because it's so scarce. So really, we're a high wall miner. You're absolutely right to focus on that. But you try and cover every eventuality, because these leases are for a long time in the future.
Yeah. So the $50,000 you're paying them is basically unlikely. Well, you'll unlikely mine it this year, but they will basically still get $50,000.
Correct. That's what's called a minimum. Now, what's clever about that, Kevin, is that those minimums are recoupable. So say I mine it in 3 years' time and I've paid two sets of royalties, I'll recoup those minimums against when I do mine it now, you know, $6 a ton or whatever. Very quickly, you could be mining a million tons. You could owe $600,000. You would recoup, in that case, the minimums paid. So I needed to have something to bind the lease to me so that somebody else couldn't buy it. But that's about the smallest amount of money I could pay. So I won't need any of the acquisition finance. But again, if I'm going to have to build a road to this, even though the land is contiguous, you have to build a road to get to it and to bench it. You might need some working capital to to build that up. And what I really want to do at Ben's Creek, as I've said to shareholders, is as we get into production and profit at Ben's Creek, the key really is to send that money back to shareholders in the form of dividends. Now, even if we'd have just stayed with Benns Creek, we might not have been able to acquire all these sites quickly. The met coal prices is an all-time high. And so for some of the acquisitions that hopefully we'll be able to announce, you will see smaller amounts of cash. As if they're not landlocked, obviously the owner, you know, has the ability to ask for cash. And if they carry infrastructure, which I'm also keen on, if they've got, you know, older wash plants or railways, you're going to have to pay. But equally, you're paying cents in the dollar. That's why I go back to this sort of, you know, inch by inch, bit by bit. You know, you're slowly adding infrastructure into the company. So it becomes not a one mine operation. You're now a sort of a big miner. You've got four or five wash plants, three or four rail loads out. Hopefully your reserve base is growing till it gets to that sort of, you know, 200-300 million of reserves, and now you're that $1 billion business that we have ambitious plans to become.
Okay, so before you get to the three Benns, let's just talk about the one Benn. What is the situation with the wash plant?
The wash plant's on track. We were managing that ourselves. We've ordered all the fabrication. I'm at the site today. I'm very happy with everything I see. We're on track to get that mid-Jan. I'm still confident of that. That doesn't mean that something unexpected could happen. But from last time I spoke to you to today, everything is on track.
And what about the railroad?
I sent you some photos. The railroad is progressing on track. We are very pleased. Some heavy equipment arrived to fix up the railway track. I sent you a whole load of new photos, hopefully, so you can see that we're making real progress. Next week, the week before Christmas, a second crew. So the railroad contractor's adding a second crew to get us, you know, fixed by that magic date at the end of January. So, you know, we remain on course for both projects.
Okay, very good. There's one other serious question, because in some of the photographs you put in of the wash plant, there was a very battered desk that was in one of the offices, and people were a bit worried.
It's been likened to a plasterer's radio.
That this desk needs to be renewed. I kept saying it's got at least another 50 years in it, but what do you think?
Famous. That desk is famous. It's the wash plant operator, the manager of the wash plant who runs that, who runs the whole thing. The only thing that we're worried about is the computer system on that desk that runs it or sits on it. So that desk has got plenty of support, but it's like a family heirloom for the company. So the desk is going nowhere soon. It's a bit like Trigger's broom. It might have new legs and it might have a new top, but the desk is staying.
Okay, that's good to know. We need to clear up that point. Okay, so how much coal, roughly, do you think has been mined so far? Any ideas?
Well, I it's difficult to say, but I've sent you a picture of the stockpile. We started about, a week and a bit ago. We've been mining every day. We've punched through about six holes. Each of those holes are about, you know, 800 to 1,000 feet. So everything is on track. I can't say we've hit any problems. I'm very, very pleased with the team here. They work very, very hard. And, you know, and they've worked, you know, sort of over Thanksgiving and towards Christmas. So the weather has been a miracle for us. It's been nice weather, you know, when in perhaps December it wouldn't have been. So that's been a big help. So we are delighted with the progress that we've made here. And I've sent you some photos so you can see for yourself. I mean, sometimes you don't get the scale, but if you'll see, there's a very large bulldozer on top of the coal pile. And if you sort of zoom in on the bulldozer, it gives you an idea of the scale of that pile.
In terms of the second high waller, when are we talking about?
Well, again, if everything continues as we are, I would be looking at the, you know, end of the first quarter, beginning of the second quarter. Again, the other thing that with the finance, which we really is to acquire other properties, it could be used to acquire second high wall miner if we felt that return was so much better on acquiring rather than renting the high wall miner, we now have the optionality to make that decision. Every decision we make is about value accretion for shareholders. So we would only acquire the high wall miner if taking into account the cost of the convertible loan note, it was cheaper to acquire it than rent it. That's the same with every property we buy and every new site we go into. We're always very respectful of the family of shareholders that have supported the company from its early stage to where we are now.
Yeah, I understand that. So I was actually speaking with some of the shareholders, and obviously people put money in this in the first raise, if you like, when you first listed at 10p. So when would you like to pay that 10p back?
Well, again, as soon as we get into dividend flow, I mean, I don't want to put a forecast out there. We will hire an analyst to do that. We're in discussions. But, you know, the cash flow that this thing generates, it should be fairly quickly. You know, I don't want to give an exact date. That would be a forecast. But it is our intention to pay back a very decent dividend stream. And the idea would be to repay investors from the IPO as quickly as is possible, making sure the company had enough money for operations and et cetera, et cetera. But that would be something that's in our ambition, to reward the original investment with dividends over the period of ownership over the next decade or so. We would like to pay them back multiple times out of dividend stream. But, you know, you know, at the moment, we are extremely lucky. The margins for Met Coal, the sale price at the moment, quoted in S&P Platts, is about $320 a ton for high vol B. That affects some great margin for us. We want to be in production. We want to add assets as quickly as possible whilst we've got those type of margins. They are sort of all-time high margins.
So the coal that's being brought out at the moment at Ben's Creek, are you happy with, you know, I mean, obviously, whether it's been analysed, I mean, are you happy with the quality of it that's coming out?
I have analysed the quality. I'm delighted with it.
Excellent.
Just to go back in terms of the quality of the coal, we talked very briefly last time about the A quality coal, if you like, the Vol A. Or A vol, whichever way around it is.
High vol A and high vol B.
Okay, yeah. High vol A, high vol B. When again do you see that there's something will be put in place to try and start to mine the high vol A?
Again, I don't want to give out forecasts and timelines, but you know, it is in our plan. It is in the prospectus, and good progress is being made to get to that extra value call.
You're not. Yeah, well, maybe you are a betting man, but these other Ben's Creeks, how hopeful are you that you land one or more of these?
Well, all I can say is we shared our plans. We put together a business plan. We've shared it with the potential investors. You know, nothing's certain in life. But again, you know, we've demonstrated how quickly we've been able to get Ben's Creek up and into production. Most of the money that we pay for these things is in royalties. So again, the owner of the reserve is incentivized to partner with us because we are able to quickly get it into production, and he receives the bulk of the consideration in royalties. So when everybody's interests are aligned, you know, you can be more confident that it's likely to happen, as opposed to a sort of binary sale where, you know, there's a fixed price, someone wins and someone loses. The way we buy these reserves is we work with the owner of the reserve through the royalty basis so that everybody's a winner. So that gives us a greater degree of confidence than if we were just paying cash up front. And if we were just paying cash up front, we would have had to raise a significantly larger amount of money. And that's something that wasn't in our prospectus and is not in our sort of business model.
Yeah, great. And basically, this could happen at any time.
Well, one happened on Friday. So I can't, you know, we secured the funding, I think, on a Wednesday, and the first acquisition happened on a Friday. So we're not hanging around there, Kevin.
Okay, so I think there is one last question, because you haven't been on the Sunday roast before. What is a Sunday roast in the Wilson household?
Well, I was born in Devon, right? So, you know, even though I'm now in America, you have to have, you know, I love the beef, Devon beef. You can't beat it. You know, best meal of the week.
Yeah, it is.
Even in America.
And roast potatoes, Yorkshire pudding.
You have to have the lot. You have to have the lot. Yes. Very sad day for me today, by the way, guys. One of my legend heroes, Jethro, the comedian, sadly passed away.
Saw that. Yeah, that was really, really sad. Jethro was a legend, wasn't he?
Jethro and Denzel Penberthy. I mean, they put Cornwall on the map. And as a West Country boy, he was a hero to me.
Yeah. And one last question about the roast. What do you wash? Do you have a nice red bottle of red with it? What kind of red would you go?
You got to have a really deep American Cabernet Sauvignon. That's what they love over here. The really powerful red wine that if you're not careful, it take your socks off.
I like that. It did. Kev can't really handle. When we were in Cyprus, I bought him a large port, and it took him 3 days to get over that one, didn't it?
Oh my God. Well, someone once told me that Southampton was a large port, but that's about as much as I know.
Adam Wilson, CEO of Ben's Creek. Thank you very much.
Pleasure. Yeah. Merry Christmas to both of you.
Merry Christmas. God bless.
Well, that was another interesting chat, and I don't think I've ever really heard many CEOs talk with as much conviction that Adam has. You listen to him and he's just so confident in the way he talks. It's like, this is the way it's going to work. We've got this. This is what we're going to do. And, you know, it's like it's all, and it's mapped out in his head. And, you're right, without setting any deadlines, he's under-promised and over-delivered every time. He's always done what he said he was going to do. And I think you can't knock that from him. It's been I don't think I've ever known a share that's hit the ground sprinting like something like Ben has.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. And really probably nowhere near its true value as we speak, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but value, I'm not too concerned about that, because it's new days. It's still under the radar from a lot of investors, but hopefully get that as these new option agreements come out, and as there's more acquisitions that you know hopefully are imminent or very close to those, then you know that value will come out and it will be realized eventually. You know, there's no point in wishing it away or rushing things. It will come out, and it's all about the bookable reserves. When you listen to him, it's like, it's a bit like the miners, which it is a miner, but you know what I mean, in the kind of like the precious metal sector. They've got the JORC report, they've got the estimation, they've got their inferred, the indicated, and the proven. And as he's, the beauty is, as he's the high wall miners in place, and then they're obviously proving up more and more of that kind of the ground, then obviously they're converting into those resource or bookable reserves. And that's the whole point, is this new adjacent property. It's not about getting the miners on there now, bang, bang, and getting it going. These are all being added to those bookable reserves in the future. So when they come to look at it, they say, well, we've got like, you know, 20 million tons, 30 million tons, and then they can keep adding to those. And when, as he say, if you take somebody like Warrior Met Coal, who've got 300 million tons and they're valued around the $1.3 billion mark, then you can kind of draw some parallels to peer companies.
No, absolutely. And he's a man on a mission, obviously. He's taken this money because these guys wanted to buy in more into the shares. So though it's a CLN, these guys have no mission of selling down their stock.
Exactly.
It's going to be, they're not even going to, from what he was saying, they're not even going to transfer to stock until they've had their 15%, because they want more stock at the end of it. So,
yeah, and the other thing you've got to ask yourself is, would they really going to get in at 20 and then flip them at, you know what I mean, for 2-3 pence per share, whatever, you know, whatever the difference is? They're going to be in this for the doubles, for the triples, and you know what I mean. They're not in this for the small gains. They're going to want to support and hold on to these things, and you know, and see the real value come to fruition.
Yeah, because they were a key investor in the IPO as well. So it's not like they've sort of just found the company and decided to go for it. So this is very positive. And as he said, there's things on the table now that he's got to sort out. And that's why he took the cash, I think, now and said, okay, we can put more. I think the interesting thing was, he doesn't want Ben's Creek to be the only rail and the only wash plant. You know, he wants another one, because if this messes up for some reason, you know, there's still going to be production. I'm not suggesting that is going to mess up, but you never know. It's mining, and things do go wrong for a week or for 2 weeks or whatever. So it won't totally wreck his production if one thing stops. So, yeah, and he reiterated as well about the dividends. So
moving on, how's the rest of the week? I mean, there's been a few good RNSs out there that have come out that haven't really had much impact. We've seen that in certain shares, you know, that we've also mentioned, you know, on previous podcasts, which has been obviously a bit disappointing. But with Omicron doing the rounds, and there's so much uncertainty, and then there's talk of potential, not potential further lockdowns, but, you know, they're starting to add more and more restrictions coming into place. Market's a little bit jittery, but yeah, it's just a case of holding and waiting on to those, because I believe, you know, there's conviction in a lot of the stocks that I'm holding, and I think that it can only get better, really.
Yeah, well, it has to get better. I mean, for instance, CMRS had, as we joked about, a cracking RNS. You know, it was cracking. You know, you sort of start talking about gold in them there hills, and now we've got figures based on it, and there's copper under it, and there's good now copper figures, and they're going to be working on JV, which is going to happen hopefully in Q1. They're going to have JORC reports in Q1, hopefully starting to have a plant towards the end of the year, and maybe even production to the end of 2022. So it was a cracking RNS. And the value, I think, of the business without the cash is about £5 or £6 million. It's comical, really, considering what potentially is in the ground. Yeah, so in some ways, the market is a car crash, as we know. There's still a few lights and a few things that are going to happen and brighten up Christmas, I think. First one for me, anyway, is going to be Conroy Gold. Meeting 22nd, just to rubber stamp the fact that the joint venture is going to go ahead. 500,000 ounces already in a JORC report. As Professor Conroy said, I think it was last week when he was on the roast, in the first sort of three different things, another 8-9 million ounces of gold. I don't think, some people actually, I don't think quite get how much money is in 8 or 9 million ounces of gold. So I would suggest you get your calculator out and put in 8 million and times it by $1,750 an ounce and see whether your calculator can cope with that number, because it's a big one. And when that goes on the 22nd and is voted through, I mean, I think the sky's the limit for this one, to be honest. I mean, it might not happen overnight, but sky's going to be the limit, I think. What do you think, Phil?
Yeah, I think, I mean, we've obviously, we interviewed Professor Conroy last week now. It was on the previous week's roast. And yeah, I mean, he speaks very eloquently. 20 years in the making, as you know, so it's taken a long time to get to the point where they are. But what strikes me about it is that they're in a position where some juniors can only dream of, you know, finding a joint venture partner with one of the Fortune 500 companies in Demir Export, one of the largest, probably the largest listed Turkish business on the Turkish exchange. And yeah, it's phenomenal, really. I mean, I don't know what the market's waiting for. It's waiting for better macroeconomic effects, and also for the resolutions hopefully to be passed on the 22nd, which, as you say, looks to be pretty much like a formality. But, you know, hopefully that will drive some value back into it, because at 15 million cap now, as you say, if you look at even their estimated, no, their, even their JORC report they've got at the moment for something like 300,000 proven and another 217,000 in the estimate area. So call it 500,000 ounces. So the 500,000 ounces at Clontibret, even just taking that number alone and putting that in the calculator. No, I wouldn't use 1,750. Yeah, that's the price of an ounce of gold at spot price. But if you took an AISC of, I don't know, $700-$800, if you take even just $600 that they get an ounce or something around that mark and do the maths on that, you're looking, you know, the figures are frightening. So really, there's nothing even priced into this for me now. For a company that spent $20 million over those 20 years, so they've put that amount in. So in reality, they should be worth that as almost their enterprise value, plus the value of whatever that 40% of the 500,000 ounces is now. And then if you say, if that whole gold district expands out to 65 kilometers and it's big, Clay Hill and Clay Marsh and all these areas are as big as potentially they could be, then it's a case of sinking as many holes with Demir there. There's different phases. You've got three phases of the JV deal. If they can get those phases done and prove up as many holes, increase the JORC, their estimates, proven to even just 5 million ounces, then 5 million ounces is one of the biggest European gold mines anyway.
Yeah, 4.4 million is the biggest mine in Europe.
There you go.
And that figure that you said, 40% of that figure, and actually it's 42.5%, but 40% is $300 million. So let's say that's 220 million pounds or thereabouts.
Yeah.
So that's their part, 220 million pounds, of the JORC report that we already know about. And it's worth 15 million pounds. How?
It's like how?
So really, the market's got to wake up to this, because the amount of money, I mean, even if you took 20% of that percentage, you're looking at 40 to 50 million pound market cap, you know, just to say, you know, without the fact that there's all this other stuff. So yeah, that was one for me as well this week. And I only really started researching, I think it was on Thursday of this week, CGO. What was it you said it was
called? The one I told you about.
For sure.
So I'll talk about the... Do you want me to talk about the met coal part and you talk about the gold or the gold, or what, you know, how do you want to work it?
Either, because I know about both now. So
all right, well, I'll start off with, this is Contango Holdings. It's been on my radar for quite a while, but it's kind of, you know, there was a place in, they raised £2.5 million, and there's been quite a lot, I've been watching, there's been quite a lot of flipping churn, whatever you want to call it, going on. And it's a case of, I saw it today and I just thought it looked like that things had, you know, maybe the overhang had cleared and the churn had gone. And I just thought maybe now's the time to start looking a bit more detail. So I started doing a bit more research into it. Anyway, basically the funds were raised to ensure that the companies, it's called the Lubu Coking Coal Project, so Met Coal in Zimbabwe, they're trying to fast track that. At the time, then obviously the price of controls, I don't know if you've looked at the price even of met coal today in the last 24 hours, has gone up quite a considerable amount, because as Adam alluded to earlier on in the call, requirement, and as people come out of lockdown globally, then it drives the demand for infrastructure for steel. So economic fundamentals have changed, and obviously now the price of met coal continues to rise. So now is a great time. The chief executive, a guy called Carl Esprey, says the coal resource of the company has is huge, and it's, I mean, it's estimated, and again I'll reiterate the point, it's estimated having over 2 billion tons of coal, which is, I mean, that would run the plant for centuries, really would. Long life, high prices. And it was re-engineered to take advantage of the new pricing environment. In a way, it's in a similar story to Ben, you know, it only became economical once the price of met coal increased. And obviously the plant was then becoming a viable option again. So now the demand outlook for coke and coking coal and met coal used in the steel industry has increased. And now it becomes even more economically viable. So, yeah, I mean, I guess business case is there. Coal price higher and higher. And it just looks like it's got the perfect storm to rise. So I think there was some talk as well in the past. There's no secret there that there was discussions going on with Chinese parties and obviously local steel producers. And I guess hopefully now is the time that they can do something and get the off-takers in place, or even discussions with parties to get it up and running. Really, that's the whole point of this, is to actually get the plant into production, build the whole package, and off they go.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, the coal's worthless unless they get the offtake agreements. So it's all based around the offtake agreements. But yeah, I mean, the amount of coal is like almost unimaginable amounts. If you like, you know, I think you could mine 10 million tons a year for 100 years and you've still got half of your resource left, I think. So it's a crazy amount of coal. So, but the other interesting part is gold that they're looking at. And they basically bought a small 300,000 ounce play in Mali. And it's turned out that when they started giving the information to the geologist to do a bit more research, he said, you've got a lot more here. It's not 300,000 ounces. So they basically, I think, then started to review it. And it looked like it was coming out over 1 million ounces for something that they only paid 300,000 ounce price for, if you like. And now they've been doing basically drilling, and I think a JORC report is soon to come. And you're talking about 2 million ounces or more possibly, but 2 million is what has been mentioned in the RNSs. So 2 million ounces is a huge amount of gold again. And, you know, if you want to see this thing as a pretty thing, then if they can get the coal to work and get cash flow from the coal, then they could be just sorting the gold mine out on free cash flow and be able to finance it that way. You won't even need a joint venture. You know, but at the same time, you could have a joint venture or you could sell the thing. So I think there's many, many moving parts here. And as I said, I think to a few people today, you know, if I take Ben and I take this, there's a lot more risk involved in this, but also the upside looks very good as well, because the potential is very high. So an interesting play, something you should do a bit more research on, and I've definitely got to do a bit more research. I think we've agreed we're hopefully going to interview Carl. So hopefully that happens sooner rather than later, and we can give you a bit more information, a bit more dig deep in terms of exactly what the way forward is. But yeah, they were the ones for me this week anyway. CMRS, Conroy Gold, and Contango Holdings.
One thing that we've mentioned in the past, and we'll mention it again, something to look out for in that time when you know, you maybe get a little bit bored of the in-laws or whatever during Christmas, you know, it can happen, is to, we're going to be putting out a series of podcasts called The 12 Stocks for the 12 Days of Christmas. So every day over Christmas, from the 25th of December right through to the 5th of January, we'll be running a series of very sort of short, punchy podcasts. And these are kind of companies, yeah, you may have heard of some of them before that we've had on and guests, but they're actually stocks that we believe to be, are going to have a very good year in going forward in 2022, that we think are going to be, you know, have value accretive events and could really do well next year. So for me, I've really enjoyed recording those, and I hope you guys actually see, you know, not only has it been interesting to hear about the companies and about what they've achieved in 2021, but what's been really an eye-opener for me has been asking them questions that are completely unrelated to stocks about Christmas and what it means for them, and their presents that they receive, their meals, and what you know, how they spend Christmas. Some of them are religious. They say it's all about the message of Christmas. Some of them, it's about family and friends. And I think you'll enjoy listening to just what makes these some of these CEOs and chairmen tick and going forward. And you know, I think you'll really enjoy it.
Yeah, it's been very interesting speaking to them, and good fun as well. And on that note, one of the things we want to do is also take a few moments to just remember how blessed we are, effectively, how lucky we are to be in the situations that we are, to be able to invest money, spare money that we have that isn't used for our basic needs, where lots of people don't even have their basic needs met. So what I've decided to do at the Roast is that we're going to donate some money to charity, but would like you to help us as well. We did do a poll, I think. I'm not sure it's been finalized yet, but effectively we're going to be supporting a few charities, and we will match up to, I think, £1,500 to £2,000, I think we said, on three or four charities. And we'd like you to join in with us, you know, and say, I feel, whether you've had a good year investing, which is not many of us, I think, or you've had a bad year, you know, you've still got many things to be thankful for. And yeah, hopefully we can help some of these charities.
Yeah, we'll probably put a link in the description. We'll make sure we get the votes in, because we put it to vote on a couple of groups. So once we've got the votes in, we'll close it down. That'll then decide on the three or four charities that have been, or the most popular, let's say. And then from there, we'll create a Just Giving page. And then we will then declare that the charities on that page. And then if you could donate there, as I say, once we get up to the £1,500 mark, we will match that payment, and then up to £2,000. And then we can then send the monies through once we've closed that off in the new year.
Again, this is the last official podcast of the year for the Sunday Roast. So we'd like to thank you all for listening, and we hope you've got benefit from it. We've certainly enjoyed doing it. We've enjoyed meeting all the different personalities and talking to lots of you in the groups as well. So, yeah, thank you is all I can say.
Yeah, and if you do enjoy it, please obviously, you know, mention it to family, friends, hit like, hit subscribe. So the best part of this is it goes out on obviously on Audio Boom, but on also Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So if you are enjoying it and you want it to automatically alert you to each new episode, including the Christmas podcasts, then you all you need to do is hit subscribe, hit follow, and then it'll automatically alert you to your smartphone. And again, if you do that on Apple Podcasts, then I believe it will automatically download that to your device as well. So thanks very much. Merry Christmas to all the listeners. And again, thanks for supporting us. And hopefully 2022 is a more prosperous and eventful year than 2021 has been on the stock markets.
Indeed.
Have a good one. Merry Christmas, Kev.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, Phil. Merry Christmas to everybody who listens. And many blessings to you all.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.